Hello, I'm Rebecca Sain, a former title holder in the Miss and Mrs. America pageant systems, and I'd like to welcome you to the world of Dr. Joel Wallach. I'm one of many who has been gifted with restored health as a result of Dr. Wallach's research and nutritional products. Millions have heard his message of health and long life from his popular audio cassette, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Others have heard his message of nutrition and longevity from his syndicated radio show, his books, or his 300-plus speaking engagements per year. Listen closely and prepare to achieve your ultimate in good health. It is my privilege to introduce researcher, author, lecturer, and world-renowned authority on health and longevity, Dr. Joel Wallach.
I grew up on a beef farm in Missouri, and like everybody else that raises livestock, we raised a lot of our own feed to stay in business, and we raised corn and soybeans and hay, and we grind this stuff up into a flour, and we'd add vitamins and minerals and trace minerals. You make pellets, and you feed those calves for about 6 to 9 months, and then you ship them off to be butchered or maybe to other feeders. And you always save back the very best ones for yourself, and you knock them in the head and eat them. It's a real simple cycle on the farm. And the thing that fascinated me as a teenager was that we went to a great deal of trouble for those calves, and yet, as a family, we ate out of the very same fields. We'd keep back 5 rows of corn for ourselves. We had a garden at the end of the field where we grew our peas and beans and squash and tomatoes. And we wanted to live to be 100 with no aches and pains, and we didn't give ourselves the very same vitamins and minerals and trace minerals that we gave the calves. And I always used to ask my dad, I'd say, hey, Pops, how come we go to all that trouble for those calves and not for ourselves? And he'd say, shut up, boy. Getting farm fresh food, fresh air, lots of free exercise. Don't ask complicated questions. And I was glad to get rid of the farm exercise and go to ag school at the University of Missouri. And there my major was in animal husbandry and nutrition. My minor was in field crops and soils. And I began to learn technical things about soil chemistry and how it related to tons and bushels per acre and ag economics. But I didn't get an answer to my basic question until I became a freshman veterinary student at the University of Missouri, and there I learned that the reason why we put all these vitamins and minerals and trace minerals into animal feeds, bottom line, is because we don't have insurance for them. We don't have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, major medical hospitalization, Medicare, Medicaid, and if we were to use a human healthcare type of system for animals, it'd be sticker shock for you. Your hamburger would cost you $275 a pound, boneless, skinless chicken breast would be $450 a pound, dozen eggs would be $50, just to pay for the healthcare. So we learned that we could keep the price of animal products, such as meat and dairy and poultry and eggs, down to where the average American could afford them simply by significantly reducing or totally eliminating healthcare costs. And we do that in animals by preventing and curing diseases with nutrition. Well, after graduating vet school, I went to Africa for a couple of years and got to work with Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom days, and that was kind of a kick. Got to play Frank Buck, use a tranquilizer gun, tromp all over Central and South Africa for a couple of years. And then Marlon sent me a telegram and invited me back to the States. He'd gotten a $7.5 million grant from the National Institutes of Health, and this was more than 30 years ago, and this was to study pollution and ecology and the environment. And my job as the wildlife veterinarian on the project was to do autopsies of animals that died of natural causes in the big zoos around the United States. And I was supposed to identify or find a species of animals that was ultra-sensitive to pollution. And we're going to use that animal much like the old coal miners used to use canaries. You know how that goes. They take the canary down in the mine, and if methane gas or carbon monoxide were to leak into the mine, the canaries were more sensitive than the men and would drop off the perch and die, and long before the men were in danger of suffocating or blowing up. Well, to make a long story short, after some 12-plus years of working on this project, I had done some 17,500 autopsies and over 454 species of animals, plus 3,000 human beings for a comparison. And what I learned was that every animal and every human being who dies of natural causes dies of a nutritional deficiency disease. And I got kind of excited about nutrition again, and I wrote 75 scientific papers on the subject, wrote chapters for 8 multi-author textbooks, actually contributed a textbook myself, 1,000 pages, 2,000 illustrations, and through the news releases that were in the big universities I worked with, I was on 2020 with Hugh Downs and Geraldo before he got his nose broke for the first time. That was a kick. It was in 1,700 newspapers around the world through the UPI and AP Newswire services. And with all this public exposure and with all this scientific exposure, I couldn't get people who are in a position of authority, either in medical research are in politics, you get too concerned or interested in preventing and curing diseases in human beings with nutrition, just like we did in animals. Well, I got frustrated enough. I went back to school in Portland, Oregon, became a physician, and I practiced there for 12 years as a general family practitioner. And I sewed up chainsaw wounds, delivered babies, used everything that I'd learned in veterinary nutrition on my human patients. And it was no surprise to me that it worked just as well in people as it did in animals. Well, to get started, I always like to talk about longevity. And the human being has the genetic potential to live healthily, to be 120 to 140. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. Unfortunately, Americans do a lousy job when it comes to longevity. Our average lifespan in the United States is 75.5, about half what we're genetically capable of. And in 1990, when the World Health Organization examined the top 32 industrialized nations on Earth, the United States came out 17th. There was actually 16 other countries whose peoples live longer than we do. We ranked 19th in healthfulness. That meant that there were 18 other countries whose peoples live longer than we do before they develop heart disease and cancer and diabetes and arthritis and osteoporosis. We ranked 23rd when it came to live births and first-year survivabilities of babies. And we ranked dead last, 32 out of 32, when it came to preventing birth defects. Now, what all this means is we have the highest-priced healthcare system in the world, but not the best. It also means that we have the most envied healthcare system in the world, but not the best. We have the most technologically advanced healthcare system in the world, but not the best. Well, I had a good friend by the name of Christopher Bird for many, many years, over 20 years, and Chris was a best-selling author on books on organically grown food. He was an expert in this subject, and I was always trying to give him vitamins and minerals, and he refused to take them, and he'd tell me, "Doc, I bring my own cooler. I don't eat any hotel food. I bring my own organically grown food, and so I don't need to take vitamins and minerals." Well, I was changing planes again a year ago, May of 1996, in Atlanta. Had an hour to kill between planes. Picked up the local newspaper, and guess whose obituary I found in the newspaper? Chris Bird. Of course, again, he was a best-selling author of books, The Secret Life of Plants, The Secrets of the Soil, and he died at age 68 from a ruptured aneurysm, a type of stroke, 7.5 years before the average American dies. And he led a pristine life, lived up in the mountains, had an organically grown garden, collected herbs, you know, like Yule Gibbons, and ate wild hickory nuts and all those kind of things. And because of his belief, he died of a copper deficiency. And I'll show you in a minute that copper deficiency causes ruptured aneurysms. And it's just a tragic thing that the people have so much to give and die at less than half their genetic potential for longevity.